Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. This is a day that the Lord our God has made. And I thank the Lord that He is alive in us. The Lord our God is alive in us who love Him, who are redeemed, who are in covenant, who believed on Jesus Christ. And we're in covenant with God. We believed on His only begotten Son. And, you know, the world is about to celebrate Christmas. Today is December 24th, 2021. And now I know that Jesus was more likely born in the spring or fall. But it is a long time ago they began to celebrate his birthday on the winter solstice, I understand. December 25th, the longest day of winter. Well, anyway, but beyond all that, this is Christmas Eve, and I thank God for this day. Every day is a day that the Lord our God has made. It doesn't bother me that they want to recognize the Lord's birthday on December 25th, but here we are. And but I mean it. I love God. I love Him every day. And I'm thankful to that He came to be with us every day, not just on one day of the year. Now, but the Lord loves us, and He's in us and with us. Through a relationship, we can do what we normally couldn't do. Now, relationship is very important. The last few broadcasts that I did, I pointed out the importance of relationship. And see, when Jesus gathered His disciples, He chose His disciples. Remember something, many are called, but few are chosen. Now, I know a lot of people the Lord called, but they don't make their calling and election sure. When the Lord chooses somebody, the thing to do is follow God and don't look back. When you put your hand on the plow, you don't take your hands off of it. I'm not talking about a physical plow, but when you begin the ministry of the Lord, of Jesus Christ, you stick with it. And it takes relationship. He'll train you for what's next. He'll train you. And that shouldn't be missing. But many times people don't know. They don't, their relationship with God, they don't relate to Him like they could. People know in part, so they relate to Him in part. But you don't, it doesn't matter how much you know. That's not the problem. The problem is culture. People do what they see others do. But the Holy Spirit was sent to guide us into all truth. Now, Jesus said something here in John 15. He was talking to His disciples, and he told us many things that we should never overlook. And He said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it to you." Relationship. Never separate ministry from relationship. They go hand in hand like faith and trust. If you try to run a ministry on faith only without trust, it's not going to go so far. Same thing happens when you try to run a ministry with covenant and not relationship. Things are going to be missing that should be in place. And he pointed out some things that we have to understand and receive as truth. Verse 17 said, "These things I command you that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." You have to understand these facts. Friendship with the world is enmity against God. He said, remember that the word that I said to you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. This is true, and I have found this to be true. When you minister to the right people, they're going to hear and pull from the anointing and be blessed when other people discount it. But watch verse 21. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. People will do you wrong because you love God, because they don't know him. And this is an alert. He said, if I had not come and spoken to them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. See, when the light is present, when the light comes, it exposes the darkness for what it is. And now, when you bear the light, you interrupt everything false. You are an interruption to what is false. He said, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. You can't separate the word of God from who God is. If you hate the Father, you're going to hate the Son. If you hate the Son, you hate the Father. If the Lord gives you something to tell somebody, and they hate the messenger, they hate the one who sent the message. If they hate him because of the message. If you hate God's word, you hate him with it. He said, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the world might be fulfilled, that it is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. This is what he said to his disciples. So it's very important to understand these facts. These are facts. And when you yield to the Lord and obey him, you set a higher standard every time you do so. And when people do otherwise, then they lower the standards. See, we have to build with the Lord. He said in verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. See, the opposite is true. Friendship with the world is enmity against God. But obeying the Lord is friendship with God. Consider these things. Loving life is friendship with God. Friendship with the world is enmity against God. Now, I'm saying this because of leaven. Things, people start out doing the wrong thing. Things out of fear, doubt, unbelief, and that's where the disconnect begins. And the leaven leavens the lump. He said, henceforth I call you not servants. Now, from verse 15, from this point, I call you not servants. He just said, if you are my friends, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Then he said, henceforth, which means from this point on, I call you not servants. Now why? Because the servant knows not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. The difference between a servant and a friend, you know what God is doing. Abraham was called the friend of God. Isn't that right? Jesus is the Son of God. And then he turned around and made us kings and priests. He made us sons. As he is, so are we in this world. Beautiful. It's beautiful. Listen. the pastors who try to, they go to seminary, learn of God, teach the word. They're doing good. I'm not discounting them. But the difference between, and they're saved, they're just as saved as the others. That's not, it's not about salvation right now. This is about the difference between servants and friends. Some people obey God, but they're servants. They're servants because they don't know what their father's doing. But when the father made known to you his plan, you're his friend. And you know, I've been both. I obeyed God. I was a servant. I didn't understand what he was doing. But he trained me. I kept following him. He trained me. I kept following him. Remember this also. This is very important and key. To keep from making a mess of things, you have to make adjustments. How many times did the Lord make adjustments among the disciples? They had a mindset. Now they dropped their nets and followed Jesus. The ones that were fishermen, they stopped being tax collectors and followed Jesus, those that were tax collectors. His disciples followed him. They traveled with him. They shared the load. And they obeyed him. But they had to make adjustments along the way. Every time Jesus taught, they made adjustments. Every time they got rebuked, they made adjustments. Every time he explained a parable, they made adjustments. Now, we covered that in a few broadcasts ago. So, but from this point on, verse 15 down, he said they were friends, not just servants. They didn't understand all along. They didn't understand to this point. Now he calls them friends because they've been obedient. They kept making adjustments. Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am? The Son of Man. Who do you say that I, the Son of Man?" And then some say you're John the Baptist. Some one of the prophets. Some this, some that. "Who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "You are the Son of God." He said, "Flesh and blood have not given this to you, Peter, but the Father revealed it to you. And on this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Then he said, "What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven." And then he explained how he must die and be killed. And he was going to lay his life down. Peter said, "Not so, Lord." He said, "Get behind me, Satan." Now watch this. When Jesus rebuked Peter, when he rebuked Satan and Peter heard it, Peter made adjustments. He never quarreled with Jesus again about the fact that he was going to die. He just didn't understand it. Then when it was time to wash his feet, "Lord, you can't wash my feet. If I don't wash your feet, Peter, you have nothing to do with me. Well, wash my hands and my head also." He said, "No, just your feet." And he taught them how to love each other. They made that adjustment. Then they had a quarrel about who's the greatest. He said people in the Pharisees and kings of the world, they exercise dominion over the people, but it won't be that way among you. Whoever's the greatest servant is the greatest. They made adjustments. Ministry, people go into ministry with mindsets. And then there are false standards already there. Culture problems are already there. People blend their culture, their doubts, their unbelief, and roll it all into a bowl of soup. They got everything in it. And it takes more light to get out of it. See, when people are right in their own mind, that's what they're going to do. The Lord told me, he said, "When a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn my ways." The Lord knew I needed information. I ran into the wall all the time, and I said, "Lord, I keep having the same problem in business. How do I fix it?" He told me what to do. I said, I thought about it. I said, "Wait a minute, Lord, I knew this wisdom would work. I needed it. I could tell it was pure. It was easy to be received. It was of God. the wisdom he gave me in his reply, it answered my question. It solved my doubts. It gave me a greater path to walk. And I said, Lord, you knew I needed to know this a long time ago. Why didn't you tell me then? I wanted to know. He said, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn my ways. He had to wait till I was ready to receive. Then I said, that's when I made my vow. I said, Lord, the thought was, what else am I missing out on? And I said, I'm going to obey you. I'm going to do whatever you say, whether I like it or hate it. I'm going to obey you. And I'm saying, what else am I missing out on? That's when I made that vow. And I started asking questions whether I had thought I had the answers or not. Sometimes I was convinced about what I had in mind to do. But I ran it by the Lord. I obeyed Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I found out it works. It helped me to make key adjustments. Now, in order for me to get past the servant stage, I had when the Lord brought things to me, I didn't wrestle with it. I received. Some people wrestle, some people argue, some people discount it, some people go ask other people who never pray about it. I've seen it too many times. I say, man, I wish people didn't do that. Because God loves his people and they can't be corrected. If you learn something from the Lord, they don't take to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord. They immediately know the answer. Just go to a church business meeting. I remember the first when I was over the age of 20 or almost 20, I guess. I wasn't a Christian yet, I don't think. Maybe I was, because I spent time at the church I was already going to after I got saved. But nevertheless, I may have been 20 years old. It may have been right after I got saved. I can't remember. Because I went to the church. I went to Mount Moriah from the time I was 10 till I was to the year I got saved. And then I went to a holiness church after a few months. But nevertheless, I went to my first business meeting. And when you go to a business meeting and people argue, and these are good people. And I've been to many church business meetings. And what happened, nobody prayed. Nobody sought the Lord. They just said how they thought it should go. Then in the holiness church, I've seen people have ideas. And they take it to the members, and man, you talk about an argument. People are dogmatic about how they think it should be. Nobody prays. It's an epidemic problem, because if you take things to the Lord in prayer, in trust, now not trying to pray and use prayer as something to sanction what you already decided to do. I'm not talking about that junk. I'm talking about when you sincerely go to the Lord and say, Lord, what do I do? What's your will for in this situation? And allow God to answer you and confirm it. See, once he answers you, if you're in faith about it, he don't have a problem confirming. I've never had a problem with God confirming with something that he wanted me to do. If he brought it to me and it was just too much for my imagination, if it was far beyond my thinking process, I ask him. I've been faith about it, but I asked for a confirmation, and he always gives a confirmation. So when people don't take it to the Lord in prayer, they're leaning to their ways and they can't learn. It's impossible. It is impossible for them to learn God's ways in that area of life unless they see more light and receive it. But when people lean to their own ways, they can't learn God's ways. You have to come to a point that you receive greater light and embrace it. And then you can see what's wrong with what's wrong and what's right with what's right. So a lot of things happened when I went to the Pentecostal church. I went to a holiness church. And I went there because I met a lady that greatly impressed me because she had a relationship. She used to talk to the Lord. She had a relationship with her father. And she would ask questions and God would answer. She was a very humble spirit. And you can see the joy of the Lord in her. People who trust God have the greatest joy. People that don't trust God, they look, even if they're people of faith, they don't look, then their countenance is not the same. They're sad. They don't understand. They're servants. Servants and not friends. In order to be a friend, you have to obey God. And you become a friend. You learn what he's doing. When the Lord trained me, he showed me the problems I needed to, that he brought things to my attention. I didn't go around critiquing people, telling people how they ought to do stuff. My assignment was to alert people to follow him. And he would show what he would be the Holy Ghost to them, not me. And some things the Lord helped me see. And sometimes he would give me the grace to point things out. But they had to make the adjustment to follow God on their own. Now watch what Jesus said. It's important to pay attention to and make all the adjustments that's necessary. Because if you don't ever make adjustments, you're not going to trust God and you're not going to fully obey him. You'll always be a servant, even if you're a man of faith. Men of faith are servants too, because they don't learn who he is. And Jesus put it this way, Luke chapter 11, verse 23. He said, here it is. He said, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. So we have to be with Christ. If he called you to the ministry, then he had great things in mind. So many people, the Lord will call them to the ministry, and guess what they do? They do it how they want to. Now, if the Lord called me, if somebody hired me, they'll tell me how they want me to work. He didn't call us to his grape vineyard or to the vineyard or to his field to work it and without giving us instructions. And guess what? Every ministry, if you cookie cutter your ministry out to somebody else, you're just a servant. But if you receive the revelation, Lord, how do I be a better evangelist? I saw what others did. How do you want, what's my protocol? If the Lord, if he's telling you what to do, it's going to be very effective. Joy is going to be in it. It's not going to be a burden. His burden is light. But if you do it out of your mind or somebody else's mind or because Pastor so-and-so did it that way, or the bishop did it this way, or the organization does it, this is what you do, these bylaws. It's just servants. But if you go to the Lord in prayer and without a made up mind and receive what the Lord is saying, you're going to be very effective. You're going to be, you know, the Lord can bring people of that caliber to the cutting edge of ministry. They'll know what their father's doing. And they'll be prepared and trained from glory to glory. Every time you complete a glory and begin another one, you're more of a friend to God. You're leaving the servant stage into the friendship stage. We're already priests and kings, sons of God, as Jesus is, so are we. But if you choose the permissive will of God, you're just going to be a servant. You're not going to ever know what God is doing. Now, when I did go to the Holiness Church, oh boy, they were sweet people, but you can have zeal and not complete understanding. Now, in the Holiness Church, that was not just the one I was a member of, but most of them were this way. Not all, there were some people who had relationship. They used to spend time in the presence of God. And they did better and they were wiser in that way. But I remember, the first of all, the doctrine of sanctification, which is just like the Jews trying to impose the law burden on the apostles and the converts that they made, telling them they had to be circumcised, worship on a certain day, legalism type things, when Jesus gave us life. See, when you believe on Jesus Christ, you have the destination. You don't, if you can believe on Jesus Christ, you've already fulfilled the road signs that guide to him. You fulfill the law. The law is your schoolmaster. All the ceremonial laws that point to Jesus, all the feast days and all the holidays, the Jewish holidays, they point to Jesus. He's the wisdom of the Proverbs, the love of the Psalms. When you have Jesus, you fulfilled all that. And when you walk in his love, you fulfill the law, the moral law, the Ten Commandments, and all the protocols when you obey God. And they're good to know. All the ceremonial laws, all the legal laws, all the standards, the statutes, all the everlasting covenant, those things, we fulfill them in Christ. But so, the women couldn't wear pants. That's one of the bylaws. They couldn't wear makeup and jewelry. And they had to wear a prayer cloth on a doily on their head or a hat. Somebody made a doctrine out of that when Paul said a woman shouldn't have a head. Oh, man, it was a mess. Those things mean that he even said, you know, he tried to appease their Jewish traditions. He said, that he let them know at the end of the statement that's not really a law. It's not important. Not worth falling out over. But nevertheless, it's okay to do something if you want to honor your husband. That's fine. But it's not legal. It's not a mandate. That can't make you righteous. Going to church on Saturday or Sunday can't make you righteous. What made you righteous, the only thing that made you righteous is the blood of the Lamb. That's why you're righteous. He shed his blood for you and you believed it by faith. See, but the legalist, the bylaws that they had. You can't smoke cigarettes, drink coffee, wine, beer, drugs. Some things make sense. But see, if you love Jesus, you're not going to do that anyway. And the things of sin, sometimes people have the perception that if I don't do this stuff, I'm all right with God. No. You can stop smoking, drinking, drugs, sex, all of it, rock and roll, and never believe on Jesus. You still got all your sins in your bones. Now, people they maximize things that they didn't have to, and then they say if you get baptized full of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, and get baptized in Jesus' name, in some circles you were perfect. Well, guess what? When you believe on Jesus Christ, your sins are gone. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can have a strong relationship because the Holy Spirit will train you. But guess what? What was missing? There was not much conversation. Now, there were some people who did seek the Lord and to learn, but most people just shouted and didn't even attempt to get to know the Lord. And they became servants. Jesus said, if you don't build with me, you scatter. See, they wanted people to get saved. They wanted people to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be baptized in Jesus' name. There's also a scripture said, be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And people make doctrines out of both of these things. And that was never given to divide the body. Baptism is a sign that you are joined to Jesus. You recognize his death, burial, and resurrection And you the old man is dead. Your old reputation is gone. You got a new one now in Jesus. You leave a dead man in the water and you get up a new man. If that's what it represents. And water baptism don't save you. The blood of Jesus does. It's just a symbol. And it's good to do. It's good to let people know where you stand. And also, not just water baptism, but the way you live and conduct your life. That's even more important than water baptism. So when people see how you live and conduct yourself, you can either draw people or it scatters them. Now, many people who went to the church, the girl, especially the girls, they had to wear long dresses to school. And I've seen so many, when they got out of school, when they got a chance, they got away from their family who went to holiness churches, and some of them moved out of town, joined the army or whatever, to get away from it all because they had such a bad experience. See, none of those things that they were putting up with made them any better off. The Lord don't care if the woman wear pants or not. They make pants for men, they make pants for women. But they made a doctrine. Because they scatter people. And you can't tell them that they made a mistake because they right. But they're children. And they don't want to talk about their parents. But they know that this stuff it got better when they saw people on TV. And they saw people flowing in the gifts. And women would wear pants and jewelry and stuff. And it kind of died down, because when there's more light, you can see better. Now, all of this is, I'm saying these things because if you make the right adjustments, then the Lord can use you mightily. Think about these things. The way you conduct your ministry, the way you follow God, the way you let Him train you makes a big difference. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. You can be effective instead of ineffective. If you build with Him, there's more light. But if you don't build with Him, you help scatter. Till next